Dear listeners, Sai Ram, we now bring you part 2 of our program, Vahini Satsang. Today's episode was first aired on the 2nd day of February 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
మనము దినమంతయు పనులు చేయుచునే ఉందము. ఇట్లు దినమంతయు పడుపాట్లలో ఉద్దేశమేమి? ఈ అట్టహాసము, ఈ ఉరుకులు, పరుగులు అన్నీ మన చరమదశ మధురంగా ఉండవలననియే కదా. పగటి యొక్క తుది ఘడియ సాయంకాలము వచ్చును. పగటి పనులన్నీ పవిత్ర భావములతో జరిగిన రాత్రి ప్రార్థన మధురంగా జరుగును. అట్టి సంతృప్త భావము ఏర్పడగానే ఏకాగ్రత పొందుదుము.
We are unceasingly engaged in various activities throughout the day. What is the purpose of this daily toil? Isn't all this work, fun, show and strain meant to ensure that our final moments are sweet and pleasant? The day culminates with the evening. If the day's work is accomplished with a sacred feeling, then the night's prayer would go on sweetly. Once we experience such a feeling of fulfillment, we can attain one-pointed concentration.
Next level of one-pointed concentration. Now it goes to the next level. So he says, it's almost like saying, what's the purpose of life?
You know, in my recent ventures, I'm into education, as you know. I'm blessed that I have Swami guided me into education, and now I am primarily dealing with the school children.
Okay.
That is a focus right now. I had started off by default. It was thrown in my lap. And there we are trying to teach children. And I firmly believe, you know, I've kind of scientifically proved Swami's statement, end of education is character. So we start building the stepping stone of character in the early childhood by formal education is by three years old. And exactly, you know, we are teaching them the purpose. And how do you reach this, that you can sleep comfortably at the end? The ultimate culmination of the day is, yes, can you go back and kick the bucket at the night and sleep comfortably?
Yes.
If you have attention, then what is the point of slogging? And the beauty of it is when you start realizing how children respond to these. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we can discuss that and see. But you know, when Baba has given us this Jyoti meditation.
Right.
Yes.
Now there are variations have come out of it, but it is so simple yet so beautifully profound that it has changed the mindset of a lot of people and governments. In the West, if you will be happy to note, there are many schools who are replacing punishment by meditation.
Oh. That's interesting.
So what they're doing is that, you know, if you have children who are aggressive, who have done some mistakes or who are violent, instead of punishing them or quiet corner to these children, they are put in one room and ask them to meditate.
Wow. The children are able to meditate?
And the children are able to meditate.
Wow.
And not only they sit quiet. See, word meditation is a little heavy.
Yeah.
So it just distracts everybody and it takes into religious connotations. But if you really see that sitting quietly, yes, calming their breath, and focusing on a flame or anything like that, that itself is a huge thing. And personally, we have seen our 4 years old, when they start at 3, by the time they are 4 years, all our children from various backgrounds, even from broken families, from single parenthood and all that, I'm telling you, the variety of society which we are seeing, even those children are able to sit in one posture without moving for at least 7 to 10 minutes.
Wow. In today's times,
children sitting
at 7 to 10 minutes
so
without movement.
So, you know, when you see these things, Swami has given us this small, small thing which ultimately will culminate into one point and knowing yourself.
Wow. Yeah, it's just like, you know, Swami says, take any one of my teachings and follow it.
Ultimately, you'll reach there.
You'll reach there.
Yeah. So if the day's work is accomplished with a sacred feeling, then the night's prayer would go on sweetly. And I think when Swami is telling, you know, the day's work being accomplished with a sacred feeling, the thought that I get is, the sacred feeling that we can have when you're doing any work is, if you can think that this is His work. You know, if you dedicate every second of your day to Him, dedicate every activity, every breath to Him, I think that is when it becomes sacred. And if you have had that kind of a day, then yes, you would have a very beautiful night. Your night prayer would go on sweetly, and you will have a great restful sleep. In fact, you know, something that comes to my mind is, sometime back on Radio Sai, we started Radio Sai Facebook Sadhana. Mm-hmm. So wherein the idea was,
Facebook Sadhana. I'm sorry.
Because we are in this age where people spend so much time on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, other day I was just sharing with Sai Prakash other day also that the recent research studies show that people in the age group of 18 to 35, 40 spend about at least 6 hours and 15 minutes every week on social media. But people in the age group of 40 to 55 spend 6 hours and 55 minutes on the social media.
Oh my God.
So there is so much time that is being spent in these days, that is the reality, on social media, on Facebook, etc. So we thought, why not try and, you know, propel people to utilize their time on Facebook on doing something which will make them think about Swami, sanctify their time.
So you're bringing Facebook into satsang category.
You can do satsang anywhere.
Correct.
So the idea was, let's start something, because, you know, I know of people who, every morning when they get up, you know, once, like Karagre Vasate, Lakshmi Karagre Vasate, you will start first see messages on Facebook. And similarly, you know, Karacharana Kritamva, before you sleep, once you want to just check, you know.
Check the WhatsApp also.
Yeah, check the WhatsApp. Exactly. Check, you know, once check the Facebook, check once the WhatsApp, you know, and before you're done with the day. So I thought at that point in time, if they can think about Swami, then that would be very beautiful. You sleep with, you know, that thought. So we started this sadhana wherein we every day give this question and ask people to complete this sentence. So we started on Sankranti day where we asked, you know, the first time when I saw Swami, I, and, you know, fill up that
beautiful
blank. Mm. And so, you know, people have written very, very beautiful things. And in fact, what we have started doing is now we do this Facebook sadhana roundup week one and we publish some of the beautiful thoughts that people have expressed on the website.
So is it on the Facebook? There is a page called Facebook like that?
Yeah. No, on the Radio Sai Facebook
page. Radio Sai
Facebook
page.
Oh, okay.
The official Facebook page of Radio Sai. So that is where we have this daily sadhana. So, and we publish some of, once a week, some of these sadhana entries that people have written for over the week. We take one question and then, you know, we share that. Those, because every thought is very beautiful, you know.
Yes,
different people have said different things. For example, today's is, you know, if I want to offer one thing to Swami, I, dash. And the kind of things that people have written, you know, somebody says, if I have to offer one thing to Swami, I want to offer my heart. If I have to offer one thing to Swami, I want to offer my past lives, present lives, future lives of not only mine, but of every being, so that every life turns into a life of eternal love.
Wow.
Someone says, I want to offer anger and all the other traits which hamper my spiritual growth. Someone else says, I want to offer myself because I want to strive to know that I am not different from Him. Someone else says, no, I want to offer my breath. Someone else says, I want to offer my hand in friendship. Mm. Someone else says, no, I want to offer my ego. Someone else says, I want to offer a life which is only into service and service. Someone else says, I want to offer karmaphala, my fruits of my actions. Someone else says, I want to offer transformation. I want to transform. Wow. And offer that transformation. So I'm just sharing. It's so beautiful when you see different people.
It triggers a thought in them.
Yeah. The reason I remembered this is, you know, if we can, as Bhagavan says, if we can work towards accomplishing our day as a day which is filled with sacred feeling, then, you know, before we hit the bucket in the night, then you have such beautiful thoughts. Your night prayer would be so sweet.
I'm recalling one day few boys were in the interview room, and there were some boys who had come from US, and they're kind of sharing. You know, sometimes Swami allows you to trigger the thought, you can talk about it, otherwise you don't talk normally in front of Swami. So Swami had triggered that discussion, and one boy was very genuinely sharing his concern that Swami, life is becoming so tough that both couple have to work today to provide for the best for your children.
Mm.
And life is becoming very, very tough. You know, we have to work day in and out. There's no time for us to do. And I see, Swami, how you have brought us up, and we are not able to provide that for our children, and we are struggling and that. So his thought process was that, Swami, there's no time, and I want to do something, but I just don't know how to allocate myself. Swami became very kind of serious, and he pulled back on his chair. And after a few seconds of silence, Swami pointed like that. He said, "Chudra mountain.
Hmm.
Outside there are mountains behind the room, right?" Swami said, "You know the mountains there?" So the boy nodded very softly that, "Yes, Swami." And Swami said, "On that mountain, you know, there are small, small plants, insects."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Yes, Swami. Who provides for them?" So it's like, you know, now the master is talking something very different, right? So we don't know how to answer that.
Yes. Mm.
So, and you know, when Swami says, then better shut up than to show your ignorance. So, and Swami kept quiet for again a few seconds, let it seep into us. And then again he said, "If I can provide for those creatures of mine, you, after all, are my best creation. Won't
wow.
I care for you?"
Wow.
You know, it was like a mind-boggling statement to hear from the master with that authenticity, you know, like authority is talking.
"I will care for you.
I will care for you, and why are you bothered for your day-to-day affair of who will pay the rent, how will I eat food, how will I provide?" So then we looked at him like that, you know, it was like, "I." But we get up in the morning, we have to go to school, colleges, work, and if I had to get assignments, get good marks, good job. See, we have to do all that. And he's telling, "Why? Why are you worried?"
Yes.
So the question came, "Swami, if everything else is taken care of, then what is my purpose? What should I work for?" And that is where he left us. And we were all staring at each other like, "Eh? Now what do we do?" And that is the time when it dawned me after 10 years. It didn't dawn me at that time. It has taken me almost a decade or more. This my understanding that what he was trying to tell us at that moment was that you are struggling for the day-to-day mundane activity which is not needed.
Yes.
Because that is predestined. Because of your karma, you are supposed to get food, you will get it.
Hmm.
And that he has told many times, "Don't worry." So what is our purpose? Our purpose is the God union.
Yes.
Realizing who you are. "I am God." And if we live with that consciousness and act according to that, then not only we'll achieve what we are trying to achieve,
yes,
but we'll find a satisfaction, a contentment, a fulfillment.
Fulfillment, yes.
Other than that, we'll only struggle, we'll get tired. At the end of the day, we'll be cursing each other and we'll be tired, looking for medicine to sleep. But it's only when we realize that, hey, there's no other way out.
Yes.
We are one with him. And it's a joy that I have to get up in the morning, smile at few people, do some work. It could be radio editing, or it could be working in a business, or teaching in a school. All that becomes an expression of the joy that the master has given me something to live and enjoy.
Life becomes a celebration.
Celebrations, true. Very well said.
Wonderful. So there is no more stress. You're no more stressed. You're blessed.
Yes.
At every moment.
Like that. You're not stressed, but blessed.
Yes.
There's another thought that comes, you know, in the Gita when Krishna says, "Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maasucha." He says, "I will remove all your sins. You just have to lead your life for me and give up all your duty." Now, that is a statement which can be conveniently interpreted.
Yes.
But what did Krishna mean, give up your duty? Should we actually give up our duties? So, it's possibly, I think, the kind of illusion or the kind of attachment to the role that we are playing. That is what Krishna wants us to give up. It's not that a mother will disown her child and say that I have given up my duty as a mother. Now I am no more your mother, you are no more my child. No, that is not the... But she cannot say that she is only the mother.
So I've coined a word there, detached attachment.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So you have to be attached but yet detached.
Yes.
Like Swami used to say, no, that be like a principal.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of his tenure.
Yes.
Wind up, you hand over children and you're gone.
Very dramatically he says, the principal gets up from his chair on the last day, takes his towel which is there on his shoulder, dusts it and he says, bye. So beautiful.
So he is attached completely and yet he is detached.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. So. I think Sai is a very beautiful thought, you know.
Hmm. That is how we can have the feeling of fulfillment and on the road to one-pointed concentration. So let's move on to the last paragraph. Probably we'll listen to that today and see how much we can dwell on it.
Manavudu ekkuva kaalam jeevimpagodu. ఈ స్వల్పమైన ఆయుః ప్రమాణములోనే దివ్య సుఖమును చవిచూడగల సామర్థ్యం వానికున్నది. ఇద్దరు వ్యక్తులు కేవలం ఒకే ప్రింటులోనే తయారైనట్లా ఉందురు. ఇద్దరి అవయవములు సమానముగానే ఉండును. ఇట్లుండియు ఒకడు దేవతుల్యుడు కావచ్చును, మరొకడు పశుప్రాయుడు కావచ్చును. దీనికి కారణమేమి? ఇరువురిది ఒక మతమే కదా, ఒకే మానవాకారము కదా. పరమేశ్వరునకు ఎందుకు భేదము? కాదు కాదు, ప్రవర్తనను బట్టి ఈ ఇరువురు ఒక జాతి వారని నమ్మలేము. కనుకనే మొదట మానవునికి ప్రవర్తనలు ప్రధానమైనవి.
Man does not live long. However, in this short span of life, he has the ability to experience divine bliss. Two people might appear ostensibly made of the same mold. Their limbs might look alike. Nevertheless, one could turn out to be an angel and another a beast. What is the reason for this? Do they not have the same human form? Do they not belong to the same religion? Why did God differentiate between them? One may ask. This is not correct. Looking at their behavior, it is hard to believe that both of them belong to the same community. Therefore, primarily, behavior is important for man.
So, Brother Abhimanyu, I think you have dealt with so many students and so many children working in school, Bhagwan school. And perhaps you would have seen how two children who are so alike, perhaps in their appearance or maybe they come from the same family, but they could turn out to be very different in their character.
Certainly. Actually, this puzzles the new parents also very much, because the home is same, environment is same, parents are same, yet one child could be very docile kind of and one can be very aggressive. And I know when I look at it in this manner, the easy way which I try to understand and create programs for the children is through value programs. Swami has given us a very beautiful technique, you know. He does not deal with any rituals, anything like that. He goes basically straight on the value system. So everybody is flowered differently. Like every one of us have a different personality. But our value systems are same. I may choose to express them differently. So what we try to do as an educationist is reinforce the values and let the child, empower the child to understand how to interpret that value, which is not disturbing the peace and harmony of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly, slowly the child gets into the groove to understand how to behave in nature. Because if you tell the child, do not pluck the flower, so he'll not pluck the flower of the class, but he'll go out and pluck the flower of the neighbor. Because he does not understand the difference. But when you teach him respect, care and love, then he will behave everywhere correctly. So we go back into the basics. So behavior becomes very critical for children. Like Swami used to put very simple language. Who is a boy?
Yeah.
His definition is very simple.
Yes.
Who is a boy? One who has good behavior. Who is a man? Who has good manners. See, like, I don't think anybody can put it in such a succinct and simple manner.
Yes, absolutely.
So behavior determines the quality of a child. Now, it does not mean that everybody has to be very docile and, you know, don't speak too much. You can, but you must know appropriately. So I can be loud, a child can be loud and expressive, extrovert, which is also fine as long as he understands the decorum of place, time and circumstances. So if you look at it that way, it is very beautiful. Swami says the ability to experience joy is our birthright.
Correct.
Wow. Yes.
That human beings must know that you are bliss, you are happiness, and to experience that is our ultimate, like, birthright in a way. That's the best word I can think of.
Yes.
So there's no two ways about it. Now work towards it. It's very simple. And how can you convince that I am stabilized in my truth? How can you say convincingly that I know what I'm doing is right? Is only through your behavior. The proof of pudding is in eating, you know. So you can't, if you say that I am righteous, then you show it by your actions. There's no point, like Swami used to tell, you know, that if you carrying a scriptures on your back is like a donkey carrying the scriptures. So nothing goes inside, you know. So library is, all the literature is in library, but library is not intelligent.
Right.
One who churns it.
Yes.
In today's context, the iPad itself is
not. Yes. Not a library, but iPad is not intelligent, you know. Yeah. iPad can give you the facilities, but you have to churn it up. So ultimately, the reaction is how the child behaves. So value in orientation in this area becomes very, very critical. Because you can be in America, Canada, Caribbean, Indonesia, wherever you want to be in the world, everybody has a different expression.
Yes.
Every child learns through their environment differently to express. But undercurrent of values is the same.
Is the same.
Wherever I go, that is a common thing. Every parent wants their child to be respectful. Every parent wants their child to be happy, smiling, fulfilled. And that is what, in fact, the UNESCO is promoting. That you want a holistically developed child, has integrated personality, who has wellness of body, mind and soul. They are talking about it. They have a big area of development called spiritual development now.
Oh.
The word spiritual is no longer untouchable. They are using that word. Mm. But understanding of that word which Baba has given us is something the world will take little time to come up to that level. But that is a fact of the life. Behavior.
Very true. In fact, in today's Sai Inspires also, he says the same thing. Like, he says, what you are actually is completely reflected in your actions. He says, your actions reflect what you are, whether you are, you know, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, whatever. So that behavior, your final actions, what you do, it reflects who you are. So, that's not, there can be no difference in that. You can't say, I am so and so, but I'll behave the way I want.
In education, some people tell me that, you know, hey, this person is acting to be good, but he's not good. So, I again quote Swami. I don't tell them each time Swami because it's like, how much can you tell? Everything is his only. So, I say, don't worry. Let him pretend to be good.
Yes.
He will then ultimately tend to be good.
Yes.
And he'll end being good, you know.
Yes. Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
Swami has given us all the solutions.
Yeah. Yes.
So I said, if he's pretending to be good,
yes,
at least be happy.
Yes.
So he knows, the child knows what is bad and what is good.
Yes.
So he's acting good.
Yes.
Like we had one child, it is a very cute child. He's his father is, I think he's from South America and mother was Caribbean. And the child is very beautiful, very simple. And very sharp. So we have taught him how to share in the classroom and, you know, so the word value of the week was sharing. So he has been sharing in the classroom and all that. When he goes home, he was snatching the toy from his brother. So mother tells him, Rishi, didn't you learn sharing in the school? Is that sharing with your brother? So he stopped right away and he told mommy, that is only for school. not for home. So, you know, even though it's a mischievous note, but I was, when she told me, we laughed together, I said, at least the child knows what is right, what is not right. Today he's taking little liberty with his brother, but tomorrow he will give back because he understands now. At least the concept is there in his head that this is sharing. I need to give because he's my brother.
Yeah, wonderful. In fact, I'm just reminded of all the days in the school, in Bhagwan, studying in Bhagwan's higher secondary school, Prashantali, where Swami used to always refer to behavior. And you are so particular about, you know, you respecting elders. And, you know, the thing that you mentioned about pretending. I think Swami also knew that, you know, so many guys are all the time pretending. But I remember there was this occasion where, you know, Swami asked someone to speak and he gave a very beautiful talk, you know, a talk suffused with devotion and all the virtues. And someone told Swami, Swami, that guy is really not all that he spoke. You know, Swami said, that doesn't matter. It's very important if he can stand up and, you know, in front of like 5,000 people say that this is what is faith, if this is what is love, that is fantastic.
Yeah, because if today he can say it, tomorrow he can live it.
Tomorrow he can live it. Sometime it will come back to him and it will come back to him very strongly. And I think that is how I think Swami, you know, was inculcated. And that's how you see so many students who have graduated from Bhagwan's University, at some point in time, they all come back, you know, and everyone has his own journey. But once, when they come back, I think they come back very, very powerfully.
They're more doubly strong in that.
Doubly strong, because all those things, as you said, you know, Bhagwan has implanted in us all these tenets of behavior.
Let me close it with a small story.
Yeah, sure.
It happened in the interview room.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had called one student with a group of devotees for an interview. And the boy was sitting next to Swami's chair. I'm sure if people have been to the room, they know. We just on the right side of Swami, snuggled and sitting. And Swami, like a mother, he started praising the boys. And he said, look at this boy. See all of you rowdies, you're looking around here and there. Look at him. He has not even lifted his head up.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. And he started praising him to the skies.
Mm-hmm.
And this fellow started crying.
Oh.
The boy was so like embarrassed, like Swami is praising you so much. And you know that when he starts praising on your face,
yes,
you better get ready. So when he took him inside the inner interview room, the boy fell at his feet and he was crying. And Swami said, hey, Mira, what happened? Why are you crying? He said, Swami, you also know, I also know. Whatever you said outside was all wrong. It's not true. I'm not like that. Why did you tell lie? Swami said, I know that whatever I said is not true today. But whatever I said, I want it to become true tomorrow.
Wow. Wow.
That is what I want you to be.
Yes.
And I know that you are not there today, but that is what I expect you to be.
Wow.
Very beautiful.
The master will always show us where we have to go.
We have to go. So who can guide us like that, you know? Such a simplicity in behavior.
Fantastic. So we all have to tune our behavior towards the behavior that Bhagwan will be proud of us.
Expects us, yes.
Expects us. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Brother Abhimanyu. I think
thank
it was
so
a very,
much.
Very lovely session with the insights that you came up with, and, you know, working in the world outside, in the field of education, and you are actually dealing with all this in a day-to-day.
I'm grateful for all of this opportunity. Yeah, and both of you. It is a pleasure talking to you and reminiscing about Bhagwan. There's nothing better joy than that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So, dear listeners, with that, we come to the end of this day-long Thursday Live. Please do share with us your thoughts and feelings, your comments on the Vahini Satsang and on all the other programs. As respect to Vahini Satsang, if you are reading the Prema Vahini, please share with us your thoughts, your insights, and if there's any queries that you want us to discuss in this forum, we could do that, because everyone has their own points of view as they read Bhagwan's message. So it would be always very, very enlightening to hear different understandings of the same immortal message of Bhagavan. So please feel free to share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude to Bhagavan for this beautiful opportunity to ruminate on his eternal message, we pray to him that we can continue this sadhana and purify our lives as we strive to become one with him. Thank you so much. Sadhana.
You just heard part 2 of our program Vahini Satsang. This episode was first aired on the 2nd day of February 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.